Welcome to American Soundways. I'm your host, Trip Clark. We're headed to a place that was once one of the roughest, rowdiest places in the history of our nation and was the birthplace to jazz greats and country greats. We'll talk with blues rock R&B icon Dilbert McClinton, and we'll listen to some great blues as well as listen to a few very talented local artists. That's all coming up on American Soundways. At one time, this place had the most notorious red light district around. It was home to an outlaw country singer. It was the birthplace to one of the fathers of the alt-country movement. It was a favorite stop for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and it was put on the map by cows. That's right, we're headed to Cowtown, USA, a.k.a. Fort Worth, Texas.
Come on along, and we'll go down to a place in Texas called Cowtown.
Over the course of the next hour, we're going to take a look at some significant events in the history of Fort Worth. But before we do, we'll listen to a song that has a connection to Fort Worth, and then later in the show, we'll discuss what that connection is. Here's the Soggy Bottom Boys on American Soundways.
In constant sorrow all through his day, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my day. I bid farewell to old Kentucky, the place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and pleasure here on earth I found. For in this world I'm bound to ramble, I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that northern railroad. Perhaps I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps he'll die upon this train.
You can bury me sleeping in my grave,
while he is sleeping in his grave.
Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger, my face you never will see no more. But there is one promise that is given, I'll meet you on God's golden shore.
He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Fort Worth, Texas was named after General William Jenkins Worth back in 1849. It was set up along the West Fork Trinity River to protect the early pioneering settlers in North Texas from Indian attacks. Eventually, it became a major shipping port and a frequent stop for cattlemen as they made their way north, driving millions of cattle to market along the infamous Chisholm Trail to Abilene, Kansas.
Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep them doggies moving, right. Don't try to understand them. Just rope them, throw and brand them. Soon we'll be living high and wide. Move them
What started as a common stop for cowboys quickly got out of hand. Saloons, gambling parlors, dance halls, and bordellos sprang up and flourished, earning Fort Worth the nickname Hell's Half Acre. Among the more notorious patrons of Hell's Half Acre were Robert Leroy Parker and Harry Alonzo Longabaugh, better known as Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. In fact, Butch and Sundance's companion, Etta Place, ran an inn, to use the term loosely, in Hell's Half Acre. By the late 1800s, Butch and Sundance were America's most wanted criminals. Among the many stories circulating about Butch Cassidy and his Wild Bunch is that they stopped in Fort Worth after robbing a bank in Winnemucca, Nevada. While in Fort Worth, they bought some nice clothes, went over to a local photo shop, had their picture taken, and then sent it back to the bank in Winnemucca, Nevada. Having made its mark as a major stopping place for cattlemen, Fort Worth had established itself as a leader in the cattle business, and later, with the extension of the railroads, a major beef supplier to the rest of the country. A series of ugly events in the 1800s, the most graphic being the murder of a prostitute whose body was nailed to the door of an outhouse, helped to bring many of the Hell's Half Acre's excesses to an end. Religious reformist movements, the changing of local government administrations, as well as the establishment of Camp Bowie and the ensuing martial law, closed Hell's Half Acre. A mock funeral was held burying John Barleycorn for good.
And these three men made a solemn vow. John Barleycorn must die.
Because many of the early white settlers in Texas had come from numerous parts of the South, they brought with them their own unique brand of religious and secular music. Texas music, however, is hard to define. Imagine a musical stew where you throw in some folk, some storytelling, some Mexican and American influences, throw in an accordion thanks to Polish, German, and Czech influences, a fiddle, some jazz, some blues, and a dance step or two, and you've got a Texas-style sound unique to almost anywhere else. Texas swing, or Western swing as it's more commonly called.
Big balls and cowtown, we'll all go down. Big balls and cowtown, we'll dance around.
Yeah.
Western swing would become to Texas what Delta blues would become to Mississippi. One of the original Western swing bands was the Aladdin Laddies, like many bands in their day, named after their sponsor, in this case, the Aladdin Lamp Company. The Aladdin Laddies were popular and appeared regularly on Fort Worth radio station WBAP. Two of their original members were the legendary Milton Brown and Bob Wills. Wills would eventually wear the crown as king of Western swing. A few years after they formed, the Aladdin Laddies lost their sponsor with Aladdin Lamp Company and were picked up by Burris Mills, whose best-known product was light crust flour, and the Light Crust Doughboys were born.
And the Light Crust Doughboys are on the air.
Now listen, everybody, from near and far, if you want to know who we are,
the Light Crust Doughboys from Burris Mills.
If you like the way we play, listen at this time each day,
the Light Crust Doughboys from Burris Mills.
Eventually, their radio show was broadcast throughout Texas and most of Oklahoma, helping the Light Crust Doughboys become one of the most popular musical groups in the history of the Southwest. Disagreements in the band over where to play and money, along with an overbearing manager, fractured the band after a few brief years. The Light Crust Doughboys evolved with different members and continue to perform and record even to this day. Milton Brown went on to form the Musical Brownies and enjoyed enormous popularity until 1936 and was poised to take the helm as the king of swing, when he was killed tragically in a car accident. Bob Wills moved to Waco and formed the Texas Playboys, then ultimately moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where he would refine his band and become the most famous Western swing band in history. By the late 1930s, big band music was in full swing, and Bob Wills decided that he wanted a fuller sound that incorporated elements of jazz. It was with his new and expanded 18-piece ensemble that Bob Wills scored his first national hit in 1940 with New San Antonio Rose, which reached number 11 on the charts. Unfortunately, the onset of World War II brought an end to the existing lineup of the Texas Playboys, which by then had become one of the most popular bands in America. Bob Wills eventually formed a new band with more of a focus on electric instruments. He continued to tour, record, and even flirt with chart success until the early 60s when a series of heart attacks ended his illustrious career. Will's music heavily influenced many of the early country music icons such as Buck Owens and Merle Haggard. In the 1930s, big band music was enjoying tremendous popularity throughout the United States. One of big band's brightest stars who remained largely behind the scenes was born in Fort Worth as Gordon Beneke. In 1938, Gordon Beneke joined the Glenn Miller Orchestra as saxophone player and occasional singer. Glenn Miller gave Gordon the nickname Tex, and it stuck. Tex Beneke was a big part of the Glenn Miller success story. Some of his more recognizable contributions include singing Miller's first certifiable gold hit, Chattanooga Choo Choo, and as saxophone soloist on In the Mood and Moonlight Serenade.
Hi there, Tex, what you say?
Step aside, partner, it's my day. Bend an ear and listen to my version
of a really solid Tennessee excursion.
Pardon me, boy, is that the Chattanooga Juju?
Yes, yes, track 29.
Boy, you can give me a shine.
Can you afford to...
The jazz world has seen a fair number of Fort Worth natives who have made profound musical contributions. From the early swing days of the 30s and the bebop of the 40s to the free jazz avant-garde movement many Fort Worth musicians have played a key role in. Free jazz giants like clarinetist John Carter, saxophonist and composer Julius Hemphill, reclusive flutist Prince Lasha, drummers Ronald Shannon Jackson and Charles Moffett, tenor sax player Dewey Redman, and the greatest and most controversial of the freeform jazz movement, Ornette Coleman. Listening to Ornette Coleman, you usually were in one of two camps. You either considered him a genius or a charlatan. Coleman's playing style was so unconventional that he was often met with contempt from both audience members and fellow musicians. Like what happens to so many great artists, what appears as outrageous to contemporary eyes of the time, in hindsight, is seen as inspired. Such is the case with Ornette Coleman. Today, he's considered one of the truly great musicians of his time. An up-and-coming artist on the Fort Worth music scene is Colin Herring. Having been described as somewhere between Merle Haggard and Husker Du, his music incorporates a brilliant mix of pop, rock, alt-country, singer-songwriter, post-punk, and even psychedelia. Here's Colin Herring with the song Sinkhole of Love from his CD The Other Side of Kindness on American Soundways.
Going up and some are going down.
That was Colin Herring with the song Sinkhole of Love. Although raised in a small town in Oklahoma by his aunt and uncle, Roger Miller was born in Fort Worth on January 2, 1936. In his youth, Miller worked his aunt and uncle's farm and earned enough money to buy his first guitar at the age of 11. He became proficient in a number of instruments. After moving to Nashville and having a lackluster first strike at success, Miller worked jobs from bellhop to backup musician. Eventually, he headed to Amarillo, Texas to take a job as a fireman. By now, Miller had established himself as a capable songwriter, but his desire was to have the same level of success as a professional musician. In the summer of 1964, after numerous failed attempts with various labels, Miller signed on with Smash Records and recorded Dang Me, his first number one hit.
So dang me, dang me, they ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me?
A few more successful hits followed that year, and then in 1965, Roger Miller recorded his biggest hit and the song that he's most famously known for.
Trailers for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents, no phone, no pool, no pets, ain't got no cigarettes.
Roger Miller recorded sporadically with marginal success for the next couple of decades, and then in 1985 scored the music for the critically successful Broadway show Big River, which won 7 Tony Awards.
King of the road.
In 1991, Roger Miller was diagnosed with throat cancer and died a year later. In the 1950s, Fort Worth native Bobby Day was a member of several local doo-wop bands. Day's most notable recordings include Rockin' Robin, which later became a hit for the Jackson 5, as well as Over and Over, later covered by the Dave Clark 5.
This dance is gonna be a drag. I said over and over and over again, this dance is gonna be a drag.
When we come back, we'll look at a musician who backed the likes of the Coasters, Herbie Mann, and Aretha Franklin, and who even had his own number one R&B hit, but whose life was tragically cut short. That's coming up on American Soundways.